Well, we're in Proverbs tonight, Proverbs 27. Over the last week or two, I have found myself thinking quite a bit about tomorrow. And I say, when I say tomorrow, I'm not speaking specifically about July 22nd of 2024, but I'm thinking about tomorrow as in the next day. I found myself thinking about that quite a bit in the context of just the fragility of life. And we were all reminded of that just on July the 6th, speaking of the Dohertys. And we were all concerned about that car crash with these, our dear friends. And we were just reminded again of how fragile our life is. And that certainly could have ended so tragically. But by God's grace and in His providence, the Dohertys enjoy another tomorrow. And now they are recovering in rehab, as I mentioned, in that facility, fully expecting to be back by God's grace eventually to their normal schedules and to the church here, which they very much long to be back for. This past Friday, I got a haircut, and right when I stepped into the barber chair, the first question my barber asked me, he's an MCA grad of many years ago, and the very first question that he asked me is this. He said, "So, was it really divine intervention that happened a week ago?" And I told him, of course, that I firmly believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe that God is in control of all things. And that God is in charge of everything that happens to us. We've heard much in the news this past week regarding the notable decline of our current president. And then we got news this afternoon. This message I wrote before this afternoon, but we got news this afternoon that he's stepping down. And that makes us wonder about tomorrow for America and the world. And there's so many things that I want us just to think about tonight when we think about tomorrow. Today, of course, is July 21, 2024. That means tomorrow is July 22 of 2024. And you know what you have done today. But I want to ask you a question. What have you done for tomorrow? What should you have done for tomorrow? And again, I'm not thinking about the 22nd of July specifically, but rather about any tomorrow. And I want us to think for a few minutes tonight on what is the believer's response to tomorrow. What should that be? The Bible has a few things to say about that topic. And this evening I want us to consider it. How should you and I think as we consider handling tomorrow? That's the name of the title of the message. Handling tomorrow. How should we think? We're going to begin with this verse here in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We're going to look at handling tomorrow. And let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us. God, we do pray that you would help us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity that you give to us into your word. Things that you know that we don't know. And so we thank you for the instruction that you give us, even as we think about tomorrow. And so we pray that you would guide us by your Spirit tonight through your word, Lord, we ask. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we note in this verse is a warning. There's a warning here against presumption. Boast not, the Bible says, thyself of tomorrow. So, we don't presume, but we do prepare. That's the first thing I want us to think about. Prepare for tomorrow. Plan as though tomorrow is coming. There's a warning against our presumption, but it is wise for us to plan as though tomorrow is coming. Planning, really, for tomorrow is a scriptural duty that we have. And there are many places in Proverbs that you could go. Matter of fact, could you go to Proverbs chapter 6 for just a moment? And let's look at what the scripture says there. It's speaking about planning. You've heard these verses before. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Where the scripture says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." What are her ways like? Well, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So the proverb here, the wise instruction for us is, well, consider what an ant does. An ant is preparing. They're gathering at appropriate times for the future. Look over a couple of the chapters to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5. "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." That again, that's a verse about preparation. It's a verse about preparing for tomorrow. While you have opportunity to do that, we prepare for that. We don't just flit around with no thought of tomorrow. We should be, from a human perspective, we should be preparing for tomorrow. And then look down several chapters later to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 27. "Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house." So again, the instruction here is thinking ahead and being prepared. And that's important. There's a warning for us here against presumption, but we are advised to prepare. Luke chapter 14. Let me just read these verses to us here. Luke 14 and verse 28. The scripture says this, you know these verses, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace." So again, he's looking at preparation, whether you're considering war or whether you're building a building, it's wise to prepare. It's our duty to prepare. Proverbs 21 and verse 5 says this, "The thoughts," that word means plans, your translation may say plans, "the thoughts, the plans of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. But of everyone that is hasty, the opposite, only to want." So again, there's a scriptural admonition here to prepare, make plans. The plans of the diligent result in something, in plenteousness. But the lack of planning, the one who's very hasty, who doesn't take time and sit down and plan, well, it's the opposite. impact there. Instead of plenteousness, there's want. And all of this, of course, we do in light of what many of us memorized as children in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And that is wise instruction. We should be trusting in the Lord. But we also have a duty. We have a responsibility to be prepared. And I think we all understand that. You don't, as a young person taking in school, you don't have this exam coming up, and then you flit around, do whatever you want to do, and then you go into your exam day, and then you're praying for mercy. You know, that's not the way to do it, right? You want to be wisely prepared. Now, God may, in His providence, have rained something into your life that you totally didn't expect, and it took away every ounce of study. You got a bad phone call, something happened to you, and for whatever reason, you weren't able to delay that exam. Well, then you go in and you do your very best. You weren't able to. But when we have time and we are able to prepare, it's wise for us. It's wise for us to do that. And in the context of Proverbs there, we should expect plenteousness when we have prepared well, and we should expect want when we haven't. Planning is wise for us, and we're trusting God's hand in all of that. James 1 in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And we need that as we're planning from day to day. We need God's help. We need God's wisdom in our planning there. We don't know the future, so we plan for it. We don't know what it's going to be. We don't know how God is going to work, but we make appropriate plans. We don't plan for the past. We know the past. We just lived it. But we don't know the future, so we plan for it appropriately. And it's wise for us. That's godly, and it's encouraged in many, many different places in the Bible. Interestingly, Proverbs 27, when the Bible says there, boast not thyself of tomorrow. If you write in your Bible, you may want to write by the word boast. That's a really interesting word. It's the word halal. And if you've heard that word before, you know what that word means. It means praise. And the overwhelming majority of the time, when you see this word, this same word translated in our Bible, it's translated not with boast, it's translated with the word praise. Matter of fact, if you look there, you go back to Proverbs, in Proverbs 27, look at the very next verse. Yeah, let another man, same word, halal, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. It's the very same word. And it's a word there that has the idea of praise and of glory. And so what this word, literally what it's saying is, don't praise or glory in tomorrow. That's literally what it means. And our translators here in the King James have said, boast not, don't glory in tomorrow. So instead, we prepare. We do not presume. Now, what's the difference between preparing and presuming? Preparing, of course, fosters plans. Presuming fosters procrastination. But if we're preparing, then of course we are planning. I think another reason that's put this verse in my mind over the last few weeks is a book that Janice and I have been reading. We just finished. Often when we travel, we read. And we read different books. And several, last year, I read a book by Robert Waugemuth. Some of you may not know that name. Many of our ladies would know Nancy Lee DeMoss Wagglemuth. Nancy Lee DeMoss is a very noted woman preacher. She speaks a lot in ladies' things. She's a well-known, a really good communicator, good theologian as well. And but she married Robert Wagglemuth, who was in publishing with Moody Press, I believe it was, and he's written several books. He writes books like he's sitting at your kitchen table and he's just talking to you. He's just really engaging. And he wrote a book that I picked up off of the DeGuard's table one resolution time called Gunlap. And it was about your last decade of life, living that decade with real purpose, with intention, and not just kind of floating away. And it was a very interesting and a good book. And then he's written another book called Finish Line. And it's a book about how you end your life at the very end. How do you go out of this world in a godly way? And just a really, really good book. I would really commend both of those books to you. But those books are about planning. And it's wise for us to do that. It's wise for us to prepare for tomorrow, but while we prepare for it, as we're told there at the beginning of verse 27, and the second thing I want you to note here, we don't presume. Don't presume about tomorrow. Don't glory in tomorrow as though you're going to have it. Is really what he's saying here. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts. When we think about not presuming about tomorrow, I would encourage you, and me as well, don't presume about tomorrow with your relationships. Don't assume that you're going to have a tomorrow to handle that sticky situation. That conflict that just hasn't been resolved. Maybe there's a conflict that you've had with your spouse, and it's never really gotten resolved. Maybe it's with another family member. Maybe it's with a fellow church member. Maybe it's someone else in the family of God. Maybe it's somebody in your workplace. And it's just kind of left hanging out there, and it never was brought to resolution. And that's what always honors God, is bringing our conflicts, making every effort possible within ourselves to bring about resolution. Don't presume that you're always going to have a tomorrow to do that. That would be foolish. Instead, prepare. Write that letter, make that phone call. Do what must be done while you have today. Don't presume there. With that spouse, don't say, well, yeah, at some point I need to get that settled with my friend. Don't say, you know, one of these days I'm going to spend time with my children. Don't presume about tomorrow. Don't glory in tomorrow as though you're going to have it. Is what he's really telling us here. And whether it's relationships or things like that, don't presume that there's going to be another day for you to do that. I would also encourage us, don't presume about tomorrow with your spiritual life. Don't presume that you're going to have tomorrow to get right with God. Sometimes people think that. Sometimes people feel that way. And it really is pure presumption to have that mindset. Well, I know things are not where they should be right now, but one day I'm fully intending to get right with God about that. But I don't want to do that right now. There are other things that I want to do, and one day I'm going to do that. I know I need to do that. I don't want to do that right now. Don't presume that you're going to have an opportunity sometime to do that. Don't glory in tomorrow as though there's going to be a tomorrow for you to get right with God, or for me to get right with God. Tomorrow I'm going to start serving God. I just got a lot going on in my life right now. And all of us have seasons. But if the general trajectory of your life is, one of these days I'm going to serve God, I would say to you, don't presume that you're going to have one of these days to do that. Don't presume about tomorrow with your affairs of this life. Things that need to be done today. Preparing. This book has really reminded us, and thankfully we've taken care of all of those things, but it's wise for us. Make sure things are squared away there. With any of your estate things, anything that relates to this life, you never know. So you want to make sure that we don't presume about tomorrow. So that's the first directive. And there's so many other things that we could mention there. That's the first directive that God gives us in Scripture about tomorrow here. Don't boast about tomorrow. Don't presume. That's the idea there. And as God often does in His Word, when He gives us a caution like that, a command like that, He also gives us a reason. Not always, but often He does. And we see the reason for that command there in the rest of the verse. Don't boast about tomorrow. Look what the verse says. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't know what that day is going to hold. I should prepare. It's wise for me to prepare. But I don't presume upon that day, because I don't know I don't even know if it's going to be there. I don't know if it's going to be there. So we don't presume. You remember what James says in James 4 and verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. I don't know. God's made it that way. For many good reasons, He's made it that way. So we don't know tomorrow. So why should we not presume? Well, I would say, first of all, because of who we are. We are so limited in our knowledge by God's design. You and I are limited. And we could look back at so many things that have taken place in our world. We didn't know what was going to take place years and years ago now with the World Trade Center, or those tsunamis that just roll over the land from earthquakes, and you don't know that. I could tell you many stories. Our young people not long ago were in San Diego at a church. Remember a friend there, some of you knew, Tim Sneeden, who went out and planted a church and was pastoring Metro Baptist Church. And one day, all of a sudden, God promotes him to heaven. I remember in my college days, one of the fellows on my hall, we were college men. We had our lives in front of us. And he goes to a restaurant down the street from the school, and he's at a salad bar getting a salad, and he falls over, and he's immediately out into eternity. No one would have expected that. We don't know. And that's the way God made us. Because of who we are, we don't know. We plan, but our plans are always subject to change according to His plans. So we prepare, but we don't presume. Jesus, we don't have time, but Jesus told a story about that in Luke 12. Do you remember that? About the rich man who prepared. The way he was preparing, and he was preparing only for this life. And he had such a prosperous crop at God's good hand and God's pleasure. And you know the story. What am I going to do? I've got so much. I'm overflowing with prosperity. What in the world am I going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to build bigger barns. I'm just going to put it all, and I'm going to store it all, and I'm going to get and grow and grow and grow. And you remember what the story is in that parable, where Jesus says, "Thou fool, you know, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And all of that's going to go away. And then whose is it really going to be?" The old preacher, Charles Bridges, he says about this passage in his commentary, he says, "Tomorrow is finally described as an unknown birth." It's finally described as an unknown birth. An ultrasound in our modern age may be able to tell us what's in the womb of that mother. But who can tell us what's in the womb of time? Who can tell us what's in the womb of tomorrow? We don't know. And so how do we handle tomorrow? Well, we prepare. We do not presume. Why do we not presume? Because of who we are. By God's design. And then we also don't presume because of who God is. Not only because of who we are, but because of who God is. Where we are deficient, God is all sufficient. He knows all things. He controls all things. As the songwriter, that little gospel song, "Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know he holds my hand. He's going to guide us every step of the way to tomorrow. He's at the very center of the universe. He knows all things. He controls all things. And of course, his ultimate aim is his own glory. So how should we handle tomorrow as a Christian? Well, we plan for it, but we don't expect it. God has both the authority and the ability to change tomorrow for any of us. But there is one more directive when we think about tomorrow that I just want to close with. We not only are not to boast about it, but we're also not to fret about it. And we think about tomorrow, I couldn't close the service without reminding us of Matthew 6 and verse 34, where the scripture says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now don't think that that verse is a contradiction to everything that we've just said. When the Lord says there in the Sermon on the Mount, don't think about tomorrow. The word there is, it's the same word that we see in Philippians for being anxious. Don't be filled with anxiety about tomorrow. Don't fret about tomorrow. Plan for it. Don't expect it. And don't worry about it. God is going to be in complete control there. Making reasonable plans, that's wise, that's sensible. But fretting about it is foolish. And it's really unfaithful as a Christian. And the scripture says there, tomorrow will take care of itself. Is the idea of that. Every day has enough trouble of its own. Some of the translations say that's exactly what it means. Don't worry about tomorrow. God's in charge. God's going to take care of it. Plan. Do what we should do. But rest firmly and rest securely in the good hand of God in all of our tomorrows. We ought to always live our lives. God promises us grace for every day, but we ought always live our lives planning, prepared to meet the Lord at any moment. Right? Because we don't know. So we should always be prepared to meet the Lord at any moment. So anything that's undone, we need to get done. Anything that should be taken care of, we ought to be taking care of it and not fretting about it. We get news like we get today, and people say, well, you know, if a president is not cognitively fit enough to run for office, then why should he be in office? And what does that mean on the world stage when that has been so openly acknowledged now? Well, we don't worry about that. We don't fret over those kinds of things. God is in complete control of the life in our world and our own individual lives as well. Well, let's pray together. God, we've reminded ourselves tonight of what you tell us in your word about you, about who you are and the limitations with which you have purposefully made us. And we're thankful that in your sovereign ways and in your good pleasure, you've made it such so that we can't know tomorrow. But we're so thankful that you do know. We're so thankful that we can claim your promises about tomorrow. And how grateful we are as in our finiteness that we don't have to fret. That we can live in glorious victory. No matter what comes, it'll always be good. And you want us just to rest in you. And so help us to do that. Help us to take the admonition from your word, the examples that we learn from your creation, and prepare. But may we not be presumptuous. May things that should be done, that need to be done, may we take the time, the energy, the effort to make those things, get those things done while we have today. That gospel witness that needs to be made, that reconciliation that needs to be made, that preparation that needs to be done. Help us, Lord, to do all of those things and rest in your good hand. You know the future. And you're good, and we delight in that. Bless us through the course of our week. Bless with our Bible school meeting coming up now, and then our Bible school coming up next week. We pray for your good hand in that, and help us in our preparation for it. We don't know what it holds, only you do. But we do pray for your blessing, and that our young people would hear the gospel, that many would be saved, that those young people, our children who do know you, that they would grow through the efforts, that we as a church would joy in being able to serve together in a cause for the gospel and the growth of the youngsters in our ministry. Give joy in that great work, Lord, we pray. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.